Right, Romans chapter 16 this morning. Romans chapter number 16. And read a few verses of scripture here out of Romans chapter 16, and I'll not ask you to stand this morning. We've stood some pretty good bit already, and so we'll read a few verses here and then pray and give you the message this morning the Lord's put on our heart. Out of Romans chapter 16, and if you'll look with me in verse number 17, the Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning, and I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the blessing, the privilege to be able to stand and proclaim it this morning. Father, I thank you for the good services that you've given us this morning so far. Lord, for the good Sunday school hour, and Lord, for the prayers that have been prayed this morning together as your people. And Lord, I thank you for the Lord, the songs that have been sung, and Lord, the offering that has been given. And Lord, I hope and pray that all of it has been done, Lord, from a heart of worship this morning. Father, I pray that you would Lord, instill in us a heart of worship. Lord, you'd stir it in us this morning. Lord, I thank you for what you've already stirred in my heart today. And Father, I thank you for your word that we have and hold a copy of the King James Bible this morning. I pray that you would help us to cherish it as we should, help us to love it, to read it, to study it, that we might know more about you and be drawn close to you in these days, that we might know what you expect of us, that we might do that, and Lord, that we might obey you and be blessed, and we might be able to walk with you and fellowship with you in these days, be used of you greatly. Father, I pray that you would help me now as I try to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to not preach as though there were 1,000 here, but Lord, help me to preach as though you were here. And Lord, we want to be true to the word of God, preach the context, and preach the truth of it in the way that would be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that you would take it and use it, drive it into the hearts of men. Help us all to be more like you. Father, I pray for that lost soul that'd be among us this morning, that you would do a work in that heart. And Lord, I pray that you would work out repentance and faith through the preaching of your word this morning, that today might be the day of salvation. May your will be done in all of us and in this service. We give it to you. And Lord, we're looking to and trusting you, and that you would, Lord, take what that which we're doing this morning, Lord, and use it for your honor and your glory. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, as we look at this passage of Scripture, what is being dealt with in this passage here is really dealing with troublemakers in the Christian life. And that's what I want to preach this morning. And I'm going to take my time going through this, not going to try to rush through this. I kind of thought about and prayed about trying to close out and finish the book of Romans today, this morning and tonight, but I don't think we'll finish it today because I don't want to rush through this. I want to take my time and give you what the Lord's giving us here and be maybe not completely exhaustive, but be thorough as far as the message and what God is telling us here regarding this, because there has been church trouble from the beginning of the church age, all the way back to the book of Acts, all through the church epistles, they're you know, God put it on the hearts of men to write regarding false apostles, false prophets, false teachings, heresies, all these different things that would cause trouble within the church and within the lives of God's people. As a matter of fact, Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15, He said, His own words were, "Beware of false prophets." He said, "Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." In other words, they look great and nice and clean cut and kind and courteous and friendly, and you connect with them in their personality, all those things on the outside, but they are out to get you and destroy you on the inside. Amen. Paul, the Apostle Paul, of course, writing this letter to the church at Rome, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is God's words, not Paul's. Amen? But God is guiding the hands of Paul. He guided Paul's hand in another place. If I could remind you, in Acts chapter 20, verse number 29, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And so all the way back, I mean, to when these letters were being written, I mean, within the first century, within just a few years of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and even before His death, burial, and resurrection, when He was walking this earth, already there were talks of the wolves and of the problems and the struggles and the troubles and the false doctrines and the heresies and the deceptions that would come within the church and among God's people. Amen? And so that's really what the Apostle Paul is writing regarding here in Romans as well. He's writing regarding troublemakers, those that would come into your life and trouble you, would draw you aside and cause you problems within your faith. Amen? And so as much as that is dealt with in the Bible, we better know that it's a very serious thing and it's a very real thing. And I believe, and you probably believe it too, and I don't have to belabor this point, that here we are in these last days in 2022, and the closer we're getting to the coming of the Lord, and the closer we're getting into the close of the church age, listen, the more and more deception is a reality in this day. Listen, the deception is a hallmark of the last days. As a matter of fact, those were Paul's exact words, that deceivers would come, that deceivers would grow by leaps and bounds, that false prophets would abound, that iniquity would abound, that a love of many would wax cold. He talked about those that would come, deceiving and being deceived. I tell you, we're living amongst a society today that they're deceiving everybody they touch because they are deceived themselves. Amen. They really do believe what they're saying. Amen. And so I'm just saying that deception is a hallmark, and if you are not careful, you will get deceived too. There are troublemakers out there that would love to draw you aside. Now, as just by way of introduction here, just kind of laying some groundwork regarding the context of this passage. The theme of the book of Romans is what? The gospel. That's what he's dealt with. That's what's been dealt with. That's what we have hammered all year long from November till now. Last November till now, the past year, we have hammered through the book of Romans regarding the gospel. He has laid the doctrine of the gospel. And then chapter 9, 10, 11, he dealt with the dispensations regarding the gospel. And then now, at the end of the book, he's dealing with our duty regarding the gospel. It's all about the gospel. And I believe this passage is no different. Looking at the context of the scripture, he talks about those causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Well, what doctrine they have learned? The doctrines regarding the gospel. The doctrines he's just taught them. Amen? The doctrines they have learned. But not just that. Every doctrine they've learned and been taught by the apostles. Every truth. The whole of the truth. Amen? In other words, there are those out there that would draw you aside regarding the gospel and regarding everything else the Bible has to say too. Amen? And by the way, you better know this. this, that any man who is messed up on the gospel, you better believe he's going to be messed up somewhere else down the road too. Listen, these clowns coming around preaching that salvation would just believe only, and there's no repentance, and there's no conviction. All you got to do is believe. I'm telling you, they're bad, messed up, and they're moral somewhere down the road. And you may not see it on the surface right now, but one of these days it's going to come out. Because a man cannot be messed up in his doctrine and not be messed up in his morals. Amen? That's just the way it goes. And so he's telling us, listen, you better be careful. There will those that will come that will teach you contrary to the doctrines you've learned and cause division over it. And so you just better be careful. You better watch the troublemakers. And he's dealing in sealing this letter. To me, as I look at this letter and we think about this letter, and I'm talking about in a physical sense, he's writing it no doubt on a scroll. He's writing it out, or somebody's writing it for him by hand. And so as he is dictating, it is being written what he is dictating. And then that scroll, once it is finished, will be rolled up and a seal will be put on it. And I view this last passage almost as the seal to the letter. Because listen, it doesn't matter how much good and right and truth you get preached, and even good, right, and truth you believe, if you get drawn aside by some troublemaker that the devil sows into your life. And there's not one of us here this morning that is above this right here. Everything written before this up to this point does not matter if you give the wrong person influence in your life. That's the second thing I want to deal with and mention just by way of introduction. This passage here is not dealing necessarily with those in authority. I think that's what we get in our head a lot of times. We get in our head a lot of times like, well, he's talking about those that would cause divisions and offenses. You know, we think about like the crooked preacher, you know. You know, or the one who's you know, in like an authoritative position or calls himself a preacher, or one who's in leadership in the church. And I'll just say this, it could be any of those people. It could be someone in authority. It could be, you know, someone, you know, who's in a leadership position or an authoritative position. It could be them, but he's not specifically talking about them. I tell you who he's talking about. He's not talking about someone necessarily in authority in your life as much as he is dealing with someone who would have influence in your life. Influence. See, there's a big difference in authority and influence in your life. Someone who is in a position of authority may or may not have any influence over you. You may or may not listen to anything they have to say. They may not influence at y'all, even though they are in a position of authority. However, someone who has influence in your life and would influence you, and they have your ear and they have your heart, and you allow the things that they say to direct you, and whether you even realize it or not, you do take their counsel and you do consider what they say. Listen, that could be literally anybody, great or small, young or old, high society or low society, authority or no authority. Listen, that could be literally anybody. I'm just simply saying the devil could so anybody into your life that could be an influence in your life. And this is what you need to understand regarding the difference in authority and influence. It is that God chooses the authority, but you choose the influence. Let me just back up and say that again. God chooses the authority in your life, but only you choose the influence in your life. God puts every authority in everybody's life. There is a chain of command, and there's a God-ordained authority laid out in the Scriptures. Listen, parents have got authority over the children. Isn't that right? The husband has authority over the wife and the children. Authority over the home. Amen? Men are to have authority in society and to be the leaders and the leadership in society. And I know that's archaic, but it's still true and it's still right. Amen? A lot of people don't like that, but it's still right. Amen? Wait, listen. The problem with a lot of our churches is that the men, we don't have men that will take authority and they're led aside. Listen, God told Israel one time, He said, listen, the reason you're destroyed is because you are led by women and children. They've got the authority. Amen. And so the God-ordained authority is that the husband over the home, the husband over the wife, and the children in subjection to the parents. Listen, the authority is Christ over the church. He is our authority. Amen. There's all these authority. God is, and so what I'm saying is God places authority. You may or may not recognize it, and you may or may not rebel against it and embrace it, but God has already set up the authority. He set up government over the people. God did that. Amen? And so, you know, you may or may not, you know, embrace that, realize that. People may or may not realize that, but God has chosen that. But that does not mean that those authorities that God has set up will have influence in your life. Children rebel against good, godly parents every day. Because their parents are the authority, but they certainly are not the influence. Isn't that one of the greatest dangers in a young person's life? The wrong influence? The wrong influence? God may have given the right authority. He may have given good parents, godly parents, parents that love them and pray for them, but instead of allowing their parents who love God to have influence in their life, they will have some peer down at the school have influence in their life, and they'll listen to them more than they do the authority that God's put in their life. Listen, a pastor has got a degree of authority. Amen? He's not to lord over God's heritage, but I'm telling you, you're bad messed up whenever you listen to some yahoo down the job or some yahoo on the internet, amen, more than you would your pastor who loves you and cares about you and prays for you and wants to see God do right, lead us right, and wants to see the Word of God be put into your heart and into your home and see you succeed in the Christian life, amen. I'm telling you, you better be careful who you allow to influence you. Because God has given the authority, but you choose the influence. That's why Psalm chapter 1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Because when you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, that means you're allowing them to influence you. You're receiving their counsel. And that's why you need to be very careful what you take in. I know I deal with this all the time, and I'm not going to stop, by the way. If you ever think that there's a point that's going to be it's the last time I'm going to say something, just get over it. Because I tell you what we all need. We need repetition. You and I need to hear this over and over and over and over. That TV and Hollywood and the radio and the wrong music and the wrong podcasts, amen, and the wrong YouTube videos and all that stuff. Listen, if you take enough of that in, it will influence you. Be careful and guard your eye gate. Be careful to guard your ear gate. Be careful to guard the gates to your soul. Allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to be the gatekeeper to your soul, that you not take anything in that does not filter through this Word of God first. Because I am telling you, I don't care how spiritual you are, you get enough of that and it will influence you. I don't care how spiritual you think your children are, if they get enough of it, it will influence them. It will. They may not dive off into sodomy, but I'm telling you, they'll get soft on it. They might dive off into some wicked sin, but I'm telling you, little by little, the devil will get them softer and softer and softer on it. They may not dive off into some homosexual relationship, but the devil sows some sodomite into their life to be a friend to them. And because they've taken enough of that in, little by little, in the public schools and the universities and on TV and everything else, they'll be soft to it. And instead of doing what Paul says to do here, they'll just kind of embrace it a little bit, little by little by little. Is that not what's happened to our society? Little by little. And so I'm just simply saying, you better watch who influences you. Watch who influences your family. Listen, I don't preach all this stuff just to have something to say. This is important. This is real. Your eternal soul, your family, your home, our church, this ministry, all of that is hanging in the balance. My children, my family, their eternity hangs in the balance this morning. It all comes down to who influences us. What influences us? And that is what is being dealt with here. The devil will sow and has sown and is sowing troublemakers into your life. Because listen, He's not necessarily dealing with authorities here. The authority would be like the pastor, those, you know, the preachers in the church. No, he's not dealing with the church organization here. He's dealing with a church organism. We got to lay aside and fix our mentality where the church involves the building. You know, and when we meet together, we're the church, and when we're off, you know, we're our own person. No, you're always the church if you're saved. You're always the body of Christ, and you are who God is writing this letter to. You are. You as an individual. God is saying this to you, and the devil will not just sow some false prophet to come stand behind this pulpit. No, he will sow somebody into your life individually. Don't get in your head that it's the pastor's job to weed out every false prophet that would try to come get in the pulpit. And as long as the pastor keeps me safe and keeps the false prophets out of the pulpit, I'll be okay. Oh no, the devil's got a false prophet for you. And they may claim or not claim to be a Christian. They may claim or not claim to be a preacher. They may just be some friend. They may have no authority at all as far as the world is concerned. But I'm telling you, the devil will use them to influence you. It'll be some friend at school. It'll be some teacher at school. It'll be some coworker on the job. It'll be some family member. It'll be somebody the devil will use to influence you. And he's got them out there for you. They're already there. They're already there. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 17, assuming they're already there, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions, and so on. In other words, go ahead and mark them because they're already there. You say, well, I don't know that I got anybody like that in my life. Listen, you're high gear blind. You need to be fasting and praying and begging God to help you and asking God to open your eyes. You need to get in this Word and asking God to clear out any confusion and clear out any of the worldly things that would cloud your spiritual thinking. You need to repent and get right with God about some things and get some sin out of your life and get clear-headed spiritually so that God can reveal to you those that the devil has after you because they are there already. It's not a matter of if and when these people come. They are in your life right now. Right now. They are after you. They're after your kids. They're after your grandkids. They're after your home. They're after our church. They are after the gospel and the ministry. They are after you. The devil has got them there. They are there now. Don't pray, God, show me when they come. No, Lord, show me where they are now. They are there now. They are there now. And I'm simply saying that it's not an authority thing. It's an influence thing. The devil can use absolutely anyone, great or small, to influence you if you allow it. If you allow it. I want to point out, really, I got like four things that I want to deal with here, and I'm probably only get to two of them this morning. And we'll probably have part two tonight. But I want to take my time, and I want to go through it because this is as important in our day as it ever has been. Listen, if you cannot see how off the ministry is and how off all things that are done under the umbrella of the gospel is, I'm telling you, you are high gear deceived this morning. And it could so easily happen to us. Amen. And I'm telling you, before this thing is over, we may be preaching out on the street somewhere, and it may just be a handful of us, no more than what we got now. Listen, Brother Ernest read a verse this morning that helped my heart. Amen. Listen, better is little with the righteous than all the riches of the wicked. Amen. I'd rather have a handful and be going the old-time way and be right than to sell out and build a big ministry and name it after myself and promote myself online and make myself a big shot in the eyes of the world. Listen, you and I would rather have nothing of the things of this world and still have God if we could have Him. Amen? And as I look around, it's going on even in the independent Baptist circle that compromises are being made and things are... It's not the things that are being preached necessarily, it's the things that are not being preached. It's not so much the things that are being taught, it's the things that will not be taught. It's not so much the things that are being stood against as much as the things that just aren't being stood for. The things that we used to say and the things that preachers used to preach, they're not being said like they used to. And I'm telling you right now, they can come up with any excuse they want to, and they can say what they want, and they can say it's in the name of being loving and being inviting and you know, not offending sinners and all these things. They can say whatever they want to, but at the end of the day, it's to build a crowd, and they're not preaching the whole counsel of God. Amen. They are false prophets. I'm not saying everybody that's just like me is wrong, is, you know, completely a false. I understand there's difference in the head of the preacher, but not in the heart of the preacher sometimes. I understand that. I know there's balance to that. But I'm just simply saying, I'm looking out and I'm seeing a lot of things going on that I don't believe God's in a million miles of. And it's by men who are carrying King James Bibles and saying they're old-fashioned and saying they're independent and fundamental, all those things. Amen. But listen, aside from all those things, aside from the grand scheme, we get too big and broad with this thing. Listen, we need to focus it down to you. Because at the end of the day, none of that stuff matters to you. The devil has got these people in your life. At the end of the day, we can't control what any of them do. I can't control whatever the preacher does. I can't control every other movement, whatever. I can't control all that stuff. And I'm not even trying to. I don't even care to. The best I could do and the best you could do is live for God the best our ability. Better yet, the best of His ability through us. Amen? You are the only one that you can control. And I'm telling you, regardless of how deceived and how demonic that stuff is, listen, it does not affect you if you don't allow it. You've got to keep your eyes on yourself and your home and your family, because that's what matters to us. Talk about every other church out there, but what matters is what's right here. This letter's being written to you. This letter's being written that us men, me and Brother Ernest and Brother Carl and Brother Raymond and Brother Ryan, us men could lead our homes right. Protect ourselves and our wives and our children from those that would draw them aside. Us. This letter's being written to you, wives, you, daughters, you. It's being written to you. Specifically, you. I want to notice the few things. I'm just going to deal with two of these this morning, and we'll pick up the rest of it tonight. Regarding troublemakers in your life. I was going to deal with troublemakers in the church. But it's more personal than that. Because if you're saved, you are the church. It's troublemakers in your life. In your life. Notice, first of all, their deeds. He exposes their deeds. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse number 20, He said, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." In other words, you're not going to know them by what they say. You're not going to know them by what they lead you on to think they are. Listen, how you will know them is when you examine their fruits. That is the fruit of their life, what they produce with their life. Listen, this thing, the spiritual application is just as simple as the practical application. And I always go by, I think about Dave Ramsey. He always talks about, listen, if you want to know how to handle your money right, listen, don't talk to your deadbeat uncle who's in debt up to his eyeballs and can't pay his bills. Listen, don't talk to that guy and get money advice. No, get money advice from somebody who's very successful and has made a lot of money and knows how to handle their finances. Isn't that right? I mean, that doesn't just make just good sense, you know? I'm talking about in the practical, natural way. Listen, the same is true in the spiritual way. Listen, you better examine the fruit of somebody's life before you start influencing them and embracing them and allowing them to influence your life and receiving them as a friend and a close companion and giving them their heart and allowing them to get so close to you that you would allow the things they say to influence your thinking. You better examine their life and make sure their life is turning out the way you want your life to turn out. Because the way their life is turning out, the picture, I'm not talking about a snapshot, but I'm talking about the whole picture of their life. That is what the Bible calls their fruit. If she's on her third marriage and has children by four different men, and you know, listen, you don't want to get marriage advice from her. I know that's comical, and I know that that seems to make sense right now, but it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to people whenever they're on the job and that's the woman talking to them. And I'll tell you why, because they've allowed her to get too close. Because their personalities connected a little too well. And you know, she's too easy to connect with and identify with. And I'm telling you, that's the person the devil will use. Amen. It'll use the person that you just connect with and that treats you so good and you're such good friends. And little by little, I mean, you see these things in their life. And I mean, in your heart, you know they're not right. In your heart, you know you don't want that for you. But little by little, the devil will allow that wedge to be worked in, that foot worked into the door. And little by little, they'll get into your life. And before long, they are influencing you. They're influencing you. So you'll know them by their fruits. You ought to be very careful to always examine the fruit of everyone in your life. Examine their fruit. The fruit of these people here, first of all, in verse 17, they are divisive. This is who the devil's going to use. Verse 17, he says, they cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And I thought this was interesting studying this out, that word offenses. I'm not big on the Greek. I don't think you've got to know a lick of Greek to understand the Word of God. Matter of fact, the ones that use Greek and Hebrew to correct the King James Bible couldn't speak one line of it. Isn't that right? That's right. They couldn't order a hamburger at a restaurant with Greek, much less correct the Holy Word of God with it. But I do think it is interesting and it is worth noting that the Greek word translating offenses here is the word scandalon. And it is the word that we get our English word, scandal. Scandal. They are scandalous people. They're those that drama always surrounds. Always stirring up something, and there's always scandal following them, and they're always bringing that into your life. Now, I want to say this. These divisions and these offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, it includes doctrine, that is, beliefs. In other words, they will divide and they will bring... By the way, that word there for offenses, it also speaks of a snare. A scandal or a snare. Something that is subtle that you'll step into without realizing it until it's got you. That's what a snare does, by the way. That's why the Bible gives so many warnings. That's why preachers give warnings, because you'll never know you've stepped off into it until it's got you and you can't get away. That's what happened to Samson, isn't that right? He played and played and played and flirted and flirted and flirted, and he knew what the Bible said. He knew what the man of God said. And listen, it was cried out again. He had good parents. His parents tried to teach him right and all those things, but little by little he played. And then before long, it had him. He didn't have it. I'm saying the devil will sow a troublemaker in your life that very subtly will maybe not go completely against the Bible and completely against the preacher and completely against what you know to be right, but just little by little there will be this little insinuations and little innuendos and just little gentle guidances away from what you know to be right. Listen, it'll be that friend that will influence you not to take a whole foot off your skirt and your dress, but it'll influence you to take 1 inch at a time or a little bit at a time. Not cause you to drop it down all the way, but just take a little bit at a time. Bring the slit up just a little, and they won't tell you to do that. They'll just influence you to do it a little at a time. The devil will put you in a crowd that'll make you feel like you're the oddball if you're not doing that. And you're the outsider if you're not saying the things that they're saying and going to the movies that they're going to and involved in the things that they're involved in. Little by little, the devil will do that to you, and he's got them there right now. We might be here a while. I feel the Lord on this morning. This is right, is it not? And by the way, husbands and fathers, it is yours and my job to make sure we protect our wives and our daughters against this. Let's be real this morning. Let's be real. Ladies are the weaker vessel. And our wives and our daughters and our children, they are more prone to peer pressure and these kind of influences than you are. And that can offend you or not offend you. That's the fact. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says Eve was deceived. Adam sinned with his eyes wide open. Amen? And I'm telling you, this world and the fads and the I'm trying to think of the word I want to use here. The fads and the styles and the trends, things that are trending and all that stuff. Listen, that seems to have more influence on ladies and young ladies than it does us men. Isn't that right? Listen, I don't even know what's trending most of the time. Amen. I don't even know what's trending and what everybody's on to out there in the internet world. Amen. Listen, I'll keep up all this. I ain't got time for that stuff. That stuff don't matter to me. But I'm telling you, my wife knows. Amen. My wife came back from that ladies' meeting the other night, and she got some handbag. She didn't even know what it was, but she knew it was trending, so it must have been expensive. That's why she got it. Amen. I said, what are you going to do? You going to keep it? You going to sell it and make some money? She said, she don't know. Amen. All she knew is that's what was trending. Amen. And I'm telling you, not everything that's trending is godly, and not everything that's fashionable is godly. In fact, most of what comes out of Hollywood is not. Amen. And if the crowd's going that direction, you can just about count it's the wrong direction. And I'm simply saying that our children and our wives, they are more susceptible to those influences than men are. Amen. And so you better be prayed up. You better be read up. You better take the sword of the Lord and the Spirit of God and make up your mind that come hail or high water, you're going to stand for God and your family's going to as well. Amen. Listen, it's high time that there's some men around here that take a stand for something, bless God. Amen. Listen, I'm so tired of seeing women-led churches and children-led churches, amen, and women-led homes and children-led homes. I'm telling you, the devil's on a rampage, and we need some men of God to get some backbone and to get some spirit about them and some courage and some bravery and stand up for the glory of God. Amen. He's got them in all of our lives. Amen. But I'm telling you, these troublemakers are after your family. They're after your children. They are after you. Amen. I might just be a little stirred up this morning. It might be some of the things I've heard the past week or two. That may be it, but that's okay. I've told you about all these young families that have been splitting up. I've heard of five just this year. Five seemingly good, godly family, young families with small children, where out of nowhere the wife gets in her head, she's going to make this 180 turn, and instead of desiring to homeschool her children and live for God and serve God and dress right and live right, and all, instead of doing all those things, she's made just seemingly out of nowhere, she's made this 180 turn and decided she wants to go to the world. And she wants to start drinking. She wants to start partying. She wants to start running with her friends and living the life I guess she wished she would have lived, you know, when she was in college or something. I don't know. I mean, it's like a midlife crisis, but it's worse than that. I mean, I'm telling you, and it's almost the same exact scenario playing out over and over and over. And I could name you five families right now when it's that exact scenario. And I'm just telling you the common denominator that I'm seeing in a lot of it. And I know a lot of people don't like this, and I know a lot of people will never change, and that's okay. But the common denominator in a lot of it is those young wives went out and got them a job. They went out and got them a job. One of them, I can tell you right now, she's a pastor's wife. Her husband's pastoring a church. A man that I know and love, a man that I've been in meetings with, who's my age. I tell you, I love him and I've prayed with him and we've preached together. And he's pastoring his church and he started working for a guy in his church. Guy owned a business, very wealthy man in his church, started working for him. Then his wife started working for him. Next thing you know, she's going out on ladies' nights with women she works with. Not with ladies she goes to church with, mind you. Ladies she works with is what I said. Ones that probably don't even go to church. And if they do, they probably don't even carry a King James Bible. They probably don't even believe what's right. Y'all see that influence there? And they said she started going out on ladies' nights, the ladies she worked with, and just little by little, there's that progression. Next thing you know, the man that he's working for and she's working for, she's shacked up with him right now, and their home's busted up. And that boy has no more ministry, and he's fighting to keep his kids, and his home's all messed up.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all listen to what I'm saying? Listen, I would never in a million years say anything like this to upset somebody. But this is the reality, man. This is the reality. And I'm not talking about a woman making a living and doing those things. As a matter of fact, the Proverbs 31 woman did that. She got up before the sun came up, and she worked and all those things. Listen, there's a priority there. The priority was for her home. The priority was for her family. Amen? And I know there are some that may never change, and they may never do anything different, and that's okay. That's fine. You pray about it. You do what God tells you to do. But I tell you what, we do have young ones here. Amen? And I've got my children, and I want them to hear this down the road. They're not here this morning, but I'm going to make them go back and listen to it. Amen? I want them to hear this. Listen, you, Kelby, make up your mind right now that you'll never marry a man that doesn't want you at home, that doesn't want you raising his children, that doesn't have the same vision as you, that doesn't have the same beliefs as you. Make up your mind right now that that's not the life you want, but you want the life God has, the life God spells out, and don't even consider it if it doesn't go the direction God wants you to go. I would tell my boys if they're here and whenever they listen to this recording, make up your mind now. When you're young, settle in your heart now that you'll marry a godly lady that wants to be at home and wants to raise her children, wants to be a keeper at home, and wants to, well, you know, doesn't want to put them off on your children, off on grandma or grandpa, or put them in some daycare somewhere. Listen, we've seen just not too long ago over in Nettleton, those goofballs down there scaring those kids half to death. I'm telling you, no one will ever love your children like you do. Amen? And God, no one will ever want to put the Word of God in them like you do. Amen? And so I would tell my boys, make up your mind now that you never marry a woman that wants to be a career woman. You never marry a woman that wants that life. That you'd have one that wants to be at home and be what God wants her to be. Amen. Again, I know we got ladies in our church that work and have worked. And listen, every situation is different. I understand that. Amen. But there's a difference in doing it out of necessity and having the real vision and the heart to do it. Amen. There's a difference in, you know, having your home first and having your career first. Isn't that right? Listen, this is just what the Bible says. And I'm just simply saying that that is the common denominator in almost every single one of those five situations. I'll tell you what it is. I can tell you of another one right now. Good family, situation I just described. I mean, she's got her little job. Working at a cafe in town 3 days a week. Started getting influenced by those people she was working with. Started getting her ear. Then started getting her heart. Next thing you know, she's shacked up with one of the men that she was working with. You say, oh, that's not me. That never happened to me. Well, that extreme may not happen to you. But those carnal influences, I mean, they'll still get in there. They'll affect you. This isn't just for the women, this is for all of us. Men too. You better be careful. Their deeds here, their devices, or they're divisive. And see, this is why, again, it all starts in doctrine. That's the beliefs of it all. But then it also includes deed as well. They're divisive in doctrine. They will put beliefs into you and cause you to consider things you wouldn't normally cause you to consider. But they'll also try to influence and affect your deeds, your lifestyle. Amen? That's why your lifestyle matters. Amen? And there's some of you, maybe your lifestyle doesn't match the Word of God. Maybe no one else knows, but you know and God knows. You know and God knows. And by the way, don't ever take the patience of God and the patience of the church and the patience of the pastor. Don't ever take that patience as acceptance, because God will always judge a lifestyle that doesn't match the Word of God. Always. 100% of the time. They're divisive. Number two, they're dishonest. In verse 18, he says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." Oh, they seem so great on the outside. They even tell me they're saved. They tell me they go to this church. They tell me this, they tell me that. But listen, he's revealing to you what they really are on the inside. You can see what they are on the outside. Listen, if what they are on the fruit of their life is divisive, And it would draw you aside in belief or draw you aside in deed, in lifestyle. Cause you to start considering doing some things you never would have done or saying some things or watching some things. You know what? Listen, that's what they are on the outside. But listen, you'll go on thinking, well, they're still nice. They're still sincere. And they're not exactly the way I am. And the devil will say, listen, they may not be exactly like you or believe it just as tight as you, but they're sincere. And they really do love you as a friend. They really do want what's best for you. They really do want what's best for the church. They really do want to serve God. They're just a little different. Let me just tell you, if they're divisive on the outside, God is telling you what they actually are on the inside. Don't listen to the devil, and don't listen to your flesh, and don't listen to your human reasoning and your worldly wisdom. No, listen to what God says. God says what they are on the outside shows you what they are on the inside. And He says they serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They serve themselves. They're not in it for you. They're in it for themselves. They're in it for what they can get out of you. They're not in it for the Lord. They're in it for them. He said, they serve their own belly. And He said, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That's interesting, isn't it? Oh, it's not the devil with a pitchfork. Notice, He says, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Well, how do they do that? How would the devil use somebody to say, well, He tells you how, by good words and fair speeches. It's not the nut that walks in here or walks into your life that looks like he fell face first into a tackle box, covered in tattoos and has a devil worshiper shirt on. It's not the witch that walks into your life. You know, it's not the dark crowd. It's those that have good words and fair speeches. It's the gifted ones. It's the likable ones. And the devil will slip them. See, he's way more subtle than you think he is. The gifted and likable ones, and the ones that you just seem to click with so much. Oh, I'm just such a good friend. I just get along so much. But their lifestyle doesn't match that Bible. And they're not what you are in doctrine. Listen. That's not that scenario there. That's not the best case scenario with the most possibility to win them. That's the worst case scenario with the worst danger of them influencing you. Amen. We got young single ladies in here, and so I deal with this a lot. These boyfriends that treat you like a queen. That's not the best case scenario of winning them and turning them out right. That's the worst case scenario of the devil taking them and turning you out wrong. I don't care how good he treats you and how nice he treats you and how right he acts when he's around your family and around your parents. Everybody listening? This goes for my boys too, and I know they're young, but there's going to come a day, amen? Listen, don't matter how sweet that girl is and how right she acts when she knows she's supposed to act right. Because they always know. They're not dumb. They're not stupid. Listen, these troublemakers that the devil sows into people's lives, be it a friend, be it a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever it is, listen, they know how to act and when to act. I don't care how great they make you feel and how in love you feel. I'm telling you, you better take a step back for a second and examine their fruit. Amen. Because that's not the best case. That's the most dangerous scenario. The most dangerous. No one ever dives off into something that's going to wind up in a train wreck knowing it ahead of time. They go into it believing that it'll work out in spite of the red flags. They go into it believing, yes, I know this is what the preacher says, and I know this is what my parents say, I know what the Bible says, and I know all this to be true, and I see the fruit. I mean, I know it's there, but they ignore it, and they look away from it, and they just believe God will work it out. And when it doesn't work out, they blame God. I know somebody right now who is mad at God and mad at the preacher because his family didn't get back together when it was falling apart because he prayed and God didn't put it back together. Oh, he forgets to mention that everyone advised him not to marry that girl, and everybody advised him not to get out of church. Everybody advised him not to get out of the will of God. He forgets to mention that. He just blames the preacher and blames everyone that's ever loved him and prayed for him and blames God and blames the Word of God for all the bad decisions that he made. Oh, that'll never happen to me. It will if you allow the right troublemaker to influence you. They're divisive. They're dishonest. They pretend to have pure motives. They're gifted and likable. Those are the real dangers. You know, God never gives one pass in the Bible for someone being nice and kind and likable and courteous. We do a lot of times, don't we? Listen, y'all hang with me. I know this is a little longer than it normally would be, but we're right where God wants us this morning. I know we give people a pass a lot of times because they're so nice and they seem so sincere. But it does not matter how sincere they seem to be and how much they seem to love you and what a great friend or what a great person they seem to be. God never gives them a pass. Truth is our guideline and nothing else. Truth is, what is the fruit? What are they doing? What are they living? That's how you base your influences in your life. Amen. God never gives a pass for a nice guy. God never gives a pass for a sweet girl. He only gives a pass for truth. Are they living truth? Are they promoting truth in your life? Not everyone that treats you and your family, quote unquote, right, is right. That's what we'll say. You know, well, boy, he treats me so right, or she treats me, or they treat her family so right, or boy, he treats my daughter so right, or she treats my son so right. But just because they treat him, quote unquote, right, does not mean they are right. What is the truth of the matter? What does the Bible say? What is their fruit in their life? In fact, just because they treat you right, the ones that treat you right are generally the most dangerous ones. Paul mentioned this same thing again over in Philippians. I want you to turn over there, Philippians chapter 3. It'll wake you up a little bit if we do a little flipping around. Philippians 3. Look at this. Philippians 3, look in verse number 18. Paul writing here, he says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Does that not sound exactly like who we're talking about in Romans? And Paul doesn't just say their God is their belly, though he does say that. And he doesn't just say that they mind earthly things, though he does say that. And that is the influence that the devil's going to put in your life. That's the troublemaker he'll put in your life. Listen, their God is their belly. They're in it for them. They mind earthly things. They're worldly minded. And they'll try to get you to be worldly minded. Amen? But listen, he goes farther than that. He doesn't say just that. He says they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not nice guys. They're not sweet girls. They're not good friends. They're enemies of the cross. And I'm telling you this, the way Paul said he was telling them this, I tell you this weeping in my soul, that you better be careful and you better watch out. The devil is after you and he's after your home. Amen. They're dishonest. They will appear to be something they are not, when on the inside, they know what they're after. They're deceptive. Back in Romans 16, we find that they are also deceptive. He said, by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. That word simple means innocent or unsuspecting. It literally means harmless people. It's not talking about stupid people. It's not talking about dumb people. It's talking about simple-minded. They're harmless. In other words, they don't suspect that anybody out there would really do that to them. It may be somebody who's very wise in the Word and knows the Scriptures and has a lot of knowledge, but they're just not mature enough to see it when the devil sows a troublemaker in their life. They're deceived by the kindness. They're deceived by the fair words and the good speeches and the good personality and the likable personality. And they're deceived by the friendship and the companionship. And they're clouded over in their spiritual thinking because of all those things. And that is how subtle the devil is. I want you to understand something. I'm not advocating isolating ourselves. I'm not advocating going out somewhere and putting up a compound on some island somewhere where we just live and it's just us. Because let me just help you. If we did that, there'd be trouble there too. Amen. Isn't that right? You and me both, we all got enough problems that we'd carry them with us. Just us. But I am advocating this. You better do what Paul says right here. You better separate. You better mark them. You better watch. You better be careful. You better know. He says they deceive the hearts of the simple. That's one who hasn't matured to know not everything that sounds good is. Not every voice that sounds good is. Not every nice person that seems nice is. There are very deceptive people out there. You know what every pedophile that's ever molested a child did? They started out by being nice to them. They started out by showing them attention. You know what they call it? They call it grooming. And don't you think that these wicked perverts of this world are any smarter than the devil is? The devil will put somebody in your life to groom you little by little and prepare you. Amen. And I'm not talking about the grand scheme of things. I'm talking about you. You. You and me. But I want you to know in regards to this thing of being simple, being harmless and simple, and not knowing that everything that sounds good is, there's two things you can do. Because it doesn't have to be that way. First of all, you can protect yourself by studying and loving the Word of God and truth. Not just studying it, but loving it. Taking it and loving it so much that you're going to believe it no matter what the outside looks like. You're going to take this truth and you're going to believe it and you're going to study it and you're going to love it and embrace it, that you'll take it and you'll look at everything in light of what the truth is. You get that through reading and studying your Bible. You get that through listening to preaching, Bible preaching, all those things. But there's another thing you can do too. You can stay close to godly, wise counselors. See, again, this gets back to the influence, and you choose the influence. You choose who influences you. And as you look at the fruit, you ought to choose the one to influence you. You ought to choose the one that's got the fruit of godliness in their life, not the fruit of worldliness. And see, you can choose to let the person influence you. You can stay close and drawn out and embrace that person that God, or those people that God's put in your life that love you and love the Lord and pray and love the Word of God. But it's going to be you that chooses. It's going to be you that decides. Stay close to godly, wise counselors. That's all their deeds. Very quickly, we see the directions. And they're simple and straightforward. Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren," in verse 17, first of all, mark them. That word mark means to take notice, to spy. It comes from a word that we get our English word scope. Scope them out. Make a mental note. Make a heart note that they seem nice and they seem great and they're really good to me and they seem real friendly and our personalities click, but this is in their life and there's something wrong with them. There's something bad about them. When I first came here as pastor, we had somebody send us a message on our Facebook page. And there's a guy who said he just moved to the area. I can't remember his name now, but he just moved to the area. And he was looking for an IFB church. That was his terminology, an IFB church. And he was so fired up to find a church like ours. He'd been looking at us online. He was so excited. He was thinking about coming, all those things, because he loved the old-fashioned way and the old-time way, all these things. And he sent me a list of all the preachers he loved to listen to, probably thinking I would be impressed. Thinking, oh, man, this is great. This guy's just like us. But see, there was a couple of them that was a real red flag. One of them was Stephen Anderson. He said, I love listening to Stephen Anderson. And I know most of you don't even know who that is. But I tell you what I did whenever I read that, I marked him. Because I've heard of more than one Stephen Anderson fans, or Andersonites, we call them, going into a place and busting a place wide open. And they come in under the guise of fundamentalism. They come in under the guise of King James only and all that stuff, all that stuff. And I tell you what I did, I marked him. And I just flat told him. I said, listen, you know, we're not proponents of Stephen Anderson. We don't believe the things he believed. Of course, he acted all, you know, confused. What do you mean? Of course, I dealt with some of that stuff, you know, that replacement theology stuff and all that junk that he preaches. Of course, he wanted to argue. And when I saw that he wanted to argue, I knew immediately. It ain't going to work. And I just flat out told him, I said, brother, listen, we're probably not the church for you. You say, you'd really turn somebody away? Don't you want our church to grow? I want you to know, outside of the Lord, I don't know that anybody wants our church to grow more than me. Outside of God, I don't know that anybody wants to see people come and get saved and praise for our community and see things happen. I don't think anybody wants that more than me. But there's just some that we'd be better off not having, because you've got to mark them. And that's true in the church. But that's true in your life too. And I believe with all my heart right now, God is showing some people, some things that you'd be better off not having in your life. Troublemakers, they're troubling you. He says, examine them, mark them. But then he says, exclude them. He uses the phrase, avoid them. That word avoid doesn't mean just kind of, you know, try to avoid them. That word, that phrase literally means to turn away. You turn away and you turn them away if you have to. Turn them away. That word that avoid them comes from, it's used three times in the Bible. Three times. One of them is right here. Another one is in 1 Peter 3 verse 11 where he said, let him eschew evil and do good. That word eschew is the same word used right here for avoid them. That is, get as far from it as you can. Avoid them. Stay as far away as you can. You know, I wonder this morning, I know it's been a little long, but I believe we've been right where God wants us to be. And I just wonder this morning, who has the Holy Spirit of God marked in your life this morning? What has the Holy Spirit of God marked in your life? And I wonder, would you obey the Holy Spirit? Would you actually do what He's dealing with your heart about? Would you obey Him? And would you avoid Him? Would you exclude them and turn them away that you might walk with God and know God? Because the reality is, it doesn't seem like much on the front side, but the end of it, they're going to greatly influence you for the wrong if you're not careful. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you for your word, for helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it and bless it. Lord, I pray that you put these things in our hearts and help us, God, to take this thing very seriously. Lord, as it's closing up this letter to this church, Lord, no doubt you've found it very important, Lord, to write to that church and to write to us this morning. So I pray that you'd help us to do business with you. And we'll thank you for what you do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.